But they did not lay their hands on the plunder. Esther chapter 9, verse 16. The Jews were free to strike back without reservation, in retaliation. But it is clear that they applied self-control. The Jews certainly defended themselves against their enemies, against those who attempted to wipe out their race. But the Jews resisted the temptation to go too far. They had been given permission to take material advantage of their enemies' defeat, but they refused to do that. They held back. Think of it this way. Not only did the Jews gain mastery over their enemies, they gained mastery over themselves. Before going any further, let me explain how retaliation syndrome works. On a sheet of paper, draw two columns. Title the left column, the offender. Title the right column, the offended. The left is the initiator of the offense, the right is the recipient. Fill out each column as follows. The offender, disapproval begins. The offended, awareness of disapproval. The offender, disapproval intensifies and grows into hatred. The offended, inability to change the thinking of the angry person. The offender, hatred begins to be expressed. The offended, beginning of mistreatment. The offender, extreme punishment becomes a way of life. The offended, inability to defend oneself leads to a sense of helplessness. Thoughts of retaliation intensify. And then one day, the tables are turned. The offender, fear of revenge from the offended, and the offended, opportunity provided to get even. The offender, expectation of revenge, and the offended, uncontrolled rage surfaces. The offender, full-scale arts of hatred or violence experienced. The offended, retaliate with full-scale vengeance. Take time to note, compare the lists. Notice the erosion on both sides. First, the offender. What begins as mild disapproval turns to hatred, which leads to a way of life that offers extreme punishment to the person who is the object or target of that anger and hatred. This punishment may take the form of nasty words expressed verbally. It may take the form of ugly letters. It may lead to character assassination. It might even become threatening or culminate in physical violence. We certainly see enough evidence of this in our society. Then, one day, perhaps even for a brief period of time, the tables are turned. The very first thing that occurs when that happens is fear of revenge from the offended. This escalates to an expectation of vengeance. And last, if the retaliation syndrome runs its normal course and nothing stops it, the original offender experiences full-scale acts of hatred or even violence. The person who was hurt gets back his own in full measure. He gets his revenge, which is another word for retaliation. Second, the offended. Initially, this person is aware of disapproval. The offended is unable to change the thinking of the angry person and begins to experience mistreatment. Unable to defend himself, the offended suffers from a sense of helplessness. At this point, the most natural response is for thoughts of retaliation to begin and intensify. Because the offended can't change the situation, because he can't defend himself, he begins to think, "How can I get back at this person?" Then one day the tables are turned. The enormous cat becomes the mouse, the prisoner gets the gun, the victim gains the upper hand. This provides the opportunity to get even. And if there's nothing to stop him, watch out. The offended retaliates against the offender with full-scale vengeance. This growth of intensity on both sides is exactly what happened between the populace of Persia and the Jews of Persia. One side experienced an escalating hatred, anti-Semitism run rampant. The other side experienced an increased sense of helplessness and defenseless. Then one day, the tables were turned. Thankfully, restraint was applied before the fires of revenge got out of control. the normal syndrome of retaliation did not occur. What is it that stops that retaliation syndrome? We're back where we started at the beginning of this chapter. Only one thing. Self-control under the Spirit of God. It's the same kind of self-control we need when we battle with lust and anger, addictions and habits, drugs, alcohol, and gluttony. Without self-control, we yield to whatever the temptation and we go too far. The Christian who is free today. What we need to do is look through the lens of Scripture at God's attitude toward retaliation, as seen in Romans 12. In one sense, the Christian can become a dangerous creature. If an immature adolescent believer really grasps hold of the grace of God and it goes to seed, watch out.